to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's talk radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
My name's Renee Giacchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom, and I'll be with you for the rest of this edition of Your Turn, the program that I've dubbed Meeting Nonsense with Common Sense. Now on to quite a bit of common sense. We've got Cam Edwards joining us this afternoon. Cam is a veteran talk show host who's currently hosting Cam and Company, which can be heard on NRANews.com and Sirius Satellite Radio. Cam, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
It's my pleasure, Renee.
Cam, tell me, I don't want people to necessarily change the channel off 1330 AM, but if they do have Sirius Satellite, when can they hear your program?
Well, the good news is they can hear it 9 Eastern, what is that, 8 Central?
8 Central, there you go.
Yep. So not while your show is on.
Not while my show is on. Not that they're all quickly changing the station anyway, because here you are. Cam, I've done a little bit of digging around. I'm sure you get on and Google yourself and whatnot, and I did not know that you have your own web page as well. It's called, for those folks out there that have the Internet hooked up, go ahead and dial up to camedwards.com. It's called Cam Edwards Smacking Down Liberalism One Moonbat at a Time.
Yeah, although I got to tell you, I've kind of backed off the smacking down of the liberals lately. At some point it just becomes so easy.
You're right about that. Well, it says the chief contributor to the blog is Farrah. Is that Farrah Fawcett?
No, that's actually my friend Farrah, who lives out in Arizona. She's a certified public accountant, and she knows all the real in-depth financial stuff. So she writes about the smart stuff. I write about the easy stuff.
Which is as in light reading, when you went to Barnes & Noble the other night and what you decided to buy.
Exactly. Or the new David Zucker political ad, things of that nature.
Okay. Well, today's program seems to have a little bit of a common theme, and that is that it's UN Day, the anniversary of the United Nations. I was given a quick math lesson, and the United Nations is 61 years old today. Cam, can you tell us what's going on as it relates to the United Nations and what the NRA is watching?
Yeah, absolutely. Over the summer, the United Nations held a summit. It's called a RevCon, a review conference on small arms and light weapons. What they were trying to do at the United Nations over the summer was to get some sort of global treaty regarding small arms. These are everything from pistols to pump action shotguns to hunting rifles, and they wanted some sort of global treaty that would establish rules and regulations for every signatory country on who can own these, what the process is to own these, the good news for gun owners, and really for everybody who doesn't want to see the UN have too much power, is this conference ended in absolute failure. They could not agree on an outcome document, and so the process ended right then and there. The bad news is that they never really go away. And so, actually, this week, in the General Assembly, the first committee on disarmament is expected to take the first steps towards an arms trade treaty outside of the small arms and light weapons summits that have been going on for the past couple of years. Looks like they might be headed to Geneva for some sort of a summit meeting outside of the auspices of the United Nations altogether, although the UN would sort of be guiding this behind the scenes. And while we don't exactly know what the arms trade treaty would look like, they've been very reluctant to give any sort of details. They keep saying, oh, don't worry, this isn't going to cover the civilian possession of firearms, but they'll never put that in writing. Mm-hmm. And what we do have in writing is something that's a little bit, well, it's a lot more disturbing than that. A woman named Barbara Frey, who is a professor at the University of Minnesota School of Law, was appointed the UN Special Rapporteur on the Prevention of Human Rights Violations Committed with Small Arms and Light Weapons. This title reports to a UN subcommittee on human rights, and she wrote a report that was approved and endorsed by the entire Human Rights Council Subcommission on the Promotion and Protection of Human Rights over the summer, in which she says that there is no human right to self-defense. And not only that, she says that insufficient gun control is a violation of human rights.
Hello, Second Amendment. I mean,
well, see, they don't recognize the Second Amendment.
Who's the they? The UN?
The United Nations,
right.
the global gun control forces like IANTA, the International Action Network on Small Arms. They see the Second Amendment as an impediment, as something that is in their way and something that needs to be removed.
Well, that's kind of how I see the UN.
That's how a lot of Americans see the UN.
But I mean, on a serious note, Cam, okay, so the UN, let's say they were to pass some resolution. We're not, I mean, are we bound to, are we obligated to follow whatever it is that they should pass on small weapons or any other gun control issue for that matter?
No, we're not. The good news is, I mean, they can have an arms trade treaty, and maybe the arms trade treaty doesn't mention civilian ownership of firearms. Maybe it is another meaningless treaty that tells China, okay, no, you can't export firearms to countries like Iran or North Korea. And it's a, you know, that sort of treaty is kind of benign because China won't pay any attention to it. They'll keep doing what they've been doing. All of these other tin pot dictatorships will keep doing what they've been doing, and we may or may not sign on to this treaty. Under the current administration, if an arms trade treaty were to come out that did restrict the civilian ownership of firearms, there's no way that this current administration would sign on to it. The danger is we've got a presidential election coming up in a couple of years. And one of the most talked about candidates, Hillary Clinton, has not been a friend to gun owners, nor has her husband. So now you get into the kind of sticky situation. What happens if an anti-gun president is in the White House? And technically, you don't even need a two-thirds majority of the Senate to ratify this treaty for the UN to believe that we have signed on. All you need, the UN talks about signatories to these treaties, and that means when the president puts his or her pen to paper, the United Nations believes that the country is a signatory to this treaty, even though the treaty might not have been ratified.
Well, they're very used
under
to,
our laws in the Constitution.
Right, they're not used to dealing with a Republican form of government or a democracy in any shape when you're talking about socialists and dictatorships and the junta and everybody else, however you classify them.
Yeah. So, the danger is this treaty gets out there, and maybe an anti-gun president were to sign on to this. It doesn't get ratified, but the United Nations still believes that all of a sudden we are committing human rights violations because our gun laws allow, I mean, we recognize the Second Amendment. So, you know, what happens then? Do we have people start suing the United States government for violation of human rights laws? Do we start having judges refer back to this UN treaty and say that we are not in compliance with this UN treaty, with this international law? We already have judges in this country who are citing international law in their judicial opinions.
Yeah, some of them sit on our highest court, in fact.
Exactly. And so that's one of the other dangers, is how does this get interpreted by the judiciary if a treaty like this comes to pass? Whether we sign it or not, quite frankly, the judiciary can always reference this in their opinions.
Okay. Well, let me move to American soil, or stay on American soil. When you talk about civilian ownership of firearms, tell us what happened recently. I understand there was a bill on Capitol Hill called the Disaster Recovery Personal Protection Act. What's that all about?
This was a bill that came about after Hurricane Katrina, where the chief of police in New Orleans said that the only people who were going to have guns were going to be the law enforcement and private security guards. And firearms were confiscated from residents of New Orleans, both those who were staying and those who were trying to leave the city. And their firearms confiscated. The city of New Orleans denied that this happened for quite a while. The NRA took the city of New Orleans to court. They got a judge to issue an injunction saying stop the seizure of firearms. And it took months before the city admitted, okay, yes, we've done this, and yes, we have about 1,100 firearms that are in a trailer right now. The city has been very, very lax, I guess, in returning the firearms to their owners. And so there are a couple of things going on. The NRA has still got this suit against the city of New Orleans to try and get the guns returned to the rightful owners. But in the meantime, they've gone to legislators all around the country and at the federal level to try and make sure that what happened in New Orleans never happens again. And so the Disaster Recovery Act states that if you are a federal law enforcement agency or you are a state or local law enforcement agency that receives federal dollars, you cannot confiscate firearms from law-abiding citizens during a state of emergency. And since almost every law enforcement agency, whether it's local or state, does get federal dollars, this pretty much applies across the board.
So it's a big win for the NRA, a big win for the Second Amendment, a big win for, you know, civilian ownership and right to bear arms.
It really is. And this is one of those votes that transcended party lines. It even transcended the traditional pro-gun, anti-gun forces. The Senate version of this was called the Vitter Amendment. And you actually had John Kerry, as far as we can tell, cast his first what would be considered a pro-gun vote ever in his Senate career on this bill. He said, yes, we should not allow these firearms to be taken from law-abiding citizens. Of course, first, and this is actually true, he did vote against the amendment first, but then before the time was up, he changed his vote to vote in favor of it. So Kerry's still flip-flopping, but in the end, he flip-flopped on the side of gun owners. And he was not the only anti-gun senator to cast a vote like this. This really was something that the vast majority of senators and congressmen agreed on.
What about Hillary Clinton?
No, she still voted against it.
Still voted against it.
Yeah, there were actually only 16 senators who voted against this, and she was one of them.
One of 16. Okay, very interesting. John McCain, where was he?
That's a good question. You know, I'm not sure about that. I think he voted in favor of it.
Yeah, I mean, I would think he would, but you never know. He's also another Mustang wild card. You're never quite sure where he's going to cast that vote.
Exactly.
All right, we are talking with Cam Edwards. He's a talk show host heard nationally on NRAnews.com and on Sirius Satellite Radio. If you've got a question for Cam, please go ahead and give us a call. He's going to be with us for about the next 12 minutes, but I do need to take a real quick break. Cam, can you stay with us through the break? I know you got to start getting ready for your show.
Oh, you bet.
Okay, when we come back, we'll have a couple more minutes with Cam, so if you've got a question for him, go ahead and dial us up right now at 623-1330. We'll be right back after this break.
Winners have a physical exam every year. Dr. James Andrews knows about winners. His patients include some of sport's greatest superstars, Charles Barkley, Troy Aikman, and Michael Jordan, to name a few. The Andrews Institute in Pensacola, Florida, is offering an executive physical program that not only makes good health sense, it makes good business sense. Invest in your health and the health of your top talent. Be a winner. Visit theandrewsinstitute.com.
Hi, this is Mike Bates, manager of WEBY Radio. If you enjoy the programs you hear on WEBY, please let us know. But more importantly, please let the businesses you hear advertising on this radio station know that you appreciate their support of the programs you like. It's because of their advertising dollars that we can stay on the air with the talk programs you like to hear. If you need a product or service that is offered by a business that advertises on WEBY, we encourage you to buy it from that business. And please, tell them that you hear them on WEBY and that you appreciate their support of your favorite radio station. If you don't need to buy from an advertiser right now, that's okay. Just call or stop by and tell them thanks for being on WEBY Radio. The business owner wants to hear that as much as you want to hear us. When you support WEBY's advertisers, you support the programs you enjoy listening to. Thank you for listening, and please, thank an advertiser for advertising. This message is from your friends here at 1330 WEBY.
We're coming to the end of a long, hot summer, and now it's time to clean your AC system after all that use. Let me tell you why. This is Todd St. Orr from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want to help you avoid a serious problem. We'll be going over to heating season soon, and if your AC system has a lot of dust, debris, and mold in it, you can have a serious reaction when you switch on the heat. The heater can cause a major release of unhealthy particles into the indoor air. Stuff that's been building up in your system all summer long can come back to haunt you or your family's health. Not to mention, an energy study by EPA shows that 0.42 of an inch of buildup on a heating and cooling coil can cause a decrease in efficiency by 21%. Cleaning translates directly into saving money and better health. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today. We'll come out and do a free inspection and give you a written estimate for exactly what you need to solve your indoor air quality problem. See us on the internet at GulfCoastAirCare.com or in the business white pages, Gulf Coast Air Care.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's talk radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
We are talking with Cam Edwards. He's the host of Cam and Company, which airs on www.nranews.com and on Sirius Satellite Radio. He's on from 9 p.m. to midnight. That's Eastern Time, which would be 8 to 11 here Central Time. So tune in to Sirius Satellite, and we've got a call. Go ahead, Frank. It's your turn.
Good afternoon. Regarding the UN, I think we spend $3 billion a year in support of the UN, and we have no additional clout for our return on investment. And as far as the UN goes, I consider them America's Trojan horse and a Tower of Babel. In Angola, when there was a revolution there, they did nothing. A company of mercenaries went in, cleaned out, I forget how many thousand rebels there. In Senegal, it was the same thing. Clinton put pressure to get these mercenaries out, even though they were doing a good job, and getting the bad guys out. And the same thing in Rwanda. They have not solved anything as far as I know. They screwed up in Korea. They want us to tax us with a national tax. They want gun control, and they want control of the internet. I mean, I don't understand where our so-called politicians are coming from and supporting them. I know it's a Rockefeller Foundation, and it's a global world group that are striving for global control. But, I mean, you know, we're the most successful nation in the world without them.
Right. And Frank, I think, you know, I echo your sentiments. And what puzzles me is, okay, it's one thing for us to, you know, be members of it. Okay, we're going to play along. We're going to, you know, not exclude ourselves from the sandbox. But do we have to let them be on our soil? That's what I don't understand.
Well, I don't want to support them financially,
right,
because we are not getting a good return on investment. And that's the way businesses are run. And a government is nothing but a business, whether it's national or international. And I want a better return for our investment. And as far as gun control goes, what do you want to do? Call up and wait for someone to answer on 911 or have a 45 caliber to defend yourself in the immediate time frame in your own home? I just can't understand it. And they're letting these people, as far as the other countries go, we're helping them. They're dying. And it cost $20 million, for example, I think it was, for the mercenaries to go in Senegal and everything like that. And then the UN said no. The UN went in there, and it cost millions of dollars, and still no results.
That's right.
I cannot understand the thinking of our politicians. It just rubs me the wrong way. I'm sorry.
Well, thank you, Frank. We appreciate that. Cam, are anyone over on Capitol Hill being real vocal that you know of about the UN? Particularly, I know your issue has been focused on gun control. Anyone been real vocal about it?
Well, the administration as a whole has been very, very good. John Bolton, now the UN ambassador, went to the United Nations in 2001, the first time they had one of these anti-gun summits, and he said in no uncertain terms that the United Nations would not be a party to any sort of treaty that contradicted our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. Robert Joseph is the current Undersecretary of State for Small Arms, and he basically reiterated what Bolton said this past summer in July at the review conference. On Capitol Hill, in terms of folks who are talking about this particular issue, the gun control aspect, I don't think a lot of people know about it, quite honestly. There are certainly names like Senator Norm Coleman from Minnesota who have been very vocal in cutting the funding for the United Nations, but there's so many things wrong with the UN that it's hard to focus on just one aspect of it.
And I think, you know, that unfortunately, I think that's a lot of our problem. You know, a lot of what Frank is talking about, the $3 billion that we spend, I think, you know, a lot of folks are just not aware of the amount of money that we, the United States citizens and taxpayers, put into the United Nations, and then the treatment we get.
I think you're exactly right.
Right. All right. Our next caller, go ahead, Bob. It's your turn.
Yeah, hi.
Hello, Bob.
I can barely hear you.
Okay. We'll shout if we need to.
Missed most of the program, unfortunately, but I heard about the last 15 minutes in the car, so I grabbed my phone here now that I'm home. NRA Life member here.
Excellent. We'd love to hear that.
Just would like to say something. I can remember getting attracted back in the late 1950s to gun shows, and it was as a result of those gun shows that I became a collector of military surplus firearms. And, you know, it was the veterans that brought these trophies back home, and they parted company with them. Well, it seems that that's been stopped maybe back about 1968 or 70. I do remember sometime in the Vietnam era, firearms as trophies were allowed to come back. Now you see they're demolishing everything, if you're aware of what's going on with the gun confiscations over there. They're cutting them up when they find them in the hands of Afghanistan or, you know, Iraqis or anybody else in the Balkans, right? Is it likely that we'll never see the days of, like, you know, trophies coming back in the hands of people?
You know, I don't know. That's a really good question, and one that's probably better posed to the Department of Defense than myself. But
yeah, but don't you think the UN is involved there somewhere?
You know, I honestly have no idea, Bob. I wish I could answer your question, but I just simply don't know the answer to it.
I mean, I follow the trade papers like Shotgun News enough to know that there are countries that are shutting down armories, factories where they were making G3s or Setnas, FNFALs. They're closing them down in Brazil. They're closing them down in Portugal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the machinery is being destroyed. So that indicates to me that I think the UN is putting a lot of pressure and applying pressure on these various governments to get out of
small arms. Certainly the government of Brazil, the UN, is applying pressure. It was last October that the UN pushed for a referendum in Brazil that would have ended civilian ownership of firearms. They were pushing hard for this referendum. The good news is the referendum failed. About 70% of the population of Brazil that voted said, no, we want to be able to own firearms, despite the really draconian gun laws that are already in place in Brazil. So, yeah, the UN is involved, and they are pressuring countries like Brazil. Portugal, I don't have any firsthand knowledge of. But, yeah, they do want to see fewer firearms in the hands of civilians. They don't believe that a firearm in the hand of a civilian can ever be a good thing.
And wouldn't you think that the Department of Defense is also getting some sort of pressure, maybe?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of your question.
Would you not think that the Department of Defense is getting some pressure from the UN and various organs?
Yeah, I'm sure that it is. I just don't know what the level of pushback would be. I think it would be a lot stronger than what you'd see in a country like Brazil.
Uh-huh. Okay, I just wanted to get that out. Thank you very much. I wanted to hear what
Bob
had to say.
All right, Bob, thank you so much. We appreciate the call. We've only got about a minute left, and Cam, I can't help but mention this, but every day when I pull out of my neighborhood, I happen to see a big billboard sign that says Sportsman for Crist.
Mm-hmm.
Can you weigh in? I don't know if it's an NRA sign up there. Are you allowed to weigh in on Charlie Crist and where he stands when it comes to gun control issues?
Well, what I can do is I can refer folks to a website. The NRA's Political Victory Fund has a website. It's NRAPVF, P as in political, V as in victory, F as in fund. And you can find how the NRA has ranked every politician in the state of Florida that's up for re-election. And just looking at the governor's race, Charlie Crist is rated an A+, and Jim Davis is rated an F. So this would appear to be one of those races across the country where there's a clear distinction in terms of what gun owners are voting for.
Okay, well, very good. Well, that's about all the time that we have for this segment. Again, Cam, I want to thank you so much for coming on. We've been talking with Cam Edwards. He's the host of Cam and Company on www.nranews.com and on Sirius Satellite Radio. What do you have coming up tonight on your program, Cam?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that. We're going to talk with David Martosko, the Director of Research for the Center for Consumer Freedom, about animal rights extremists. Also, we'll talk about the closing of an enormously important gun range out in California. And we're going to be talking about the corporate anti-gun mentality as well tonight on Cam and Company.
Oh, that's where I guess they've been closing or not letting people have guns in their cars, locked cars on their job sites. Is that right?
That and companies who say no concealed carry in our place of business.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for joining us again, Cam Edwards. You can hear him on Sirius this evening. We'll be right back.